Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So three polls came out last week in the New York State governor's race. One made big news. It was the Quinnipiac poll, showing Andrew Cuomo with only a six-point lead over Carl Paladino, shocking to many that Paladino, with his fringy reputation, not even endorsed by the other candidates on the statewide Republican ticket, could actually be making this a race. But then two more polls came out in the 2 days following, the Marist and Siena polls, showing Cuomo's lead to be 19 points and 33 points, respectively. How could basically the same question, asked of basically the same number of New Yorkers over basically the same few days, produce such different results? Let's find out. All three pollsters have graciously agreed to join us for this, and here they are. Mickey Carroll, director of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute, Don Levy, director of the Siena Research Institute, and Lee Meringoff, director of the Marist Institute for Public Opinion. Welcome back, all of you. And Mickey, it was your Q poll that made all the news with the merely six-point spread. So were you surprised to see the other polls come out with such bigger Cuomo leads?
Brian, before that, I was surprised to see our poll come out. When they gave me the numbers the night before, the technical people, I said, wait a minute, that can't be right. And let's do it again. And we looked back, and sure enough, it was. The numbers checked out. It was right. The other polls, it's hard to say. Siena came out with their very big number. Based, though, they did it on registered voters. We had done it on likely voters. Then Lee Meringoff at Marist came split the difference. He came out in the middle, and he did likely voters as well. So did, you know, like as we did. So it's Brian. We know, but why don't we just tell the public how a likely voter poll works? You look at registered voters, then you winnow them down. We have a genius up there, Doug Schwartz. You guys all know him, who winnows these down with questions about who would be likely to vote, how much do you care, how much do you support your candidate, blah 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 blah. He puts it in his Cuisinart, pushes a button, and comes out with a prediction, a number, based on likely voters. And my guess is, looking it over, I think Lee's numbers, the Marist numbers, and ours were not as different as they seemed. We left, did not put Rick Lazio, the then Conservative Party nominee, in because he wasn't in yet. And as you know, he's still pulled out. I think you can't just pick up numbers and change them. But in other words, if you added Lazio's
right, Lazio had about 9 points
in
Lee
numbers,
in your
exactly.
Marist poll, and right. You had a 19-point lead for Cuomo. So if you subtract the 9 from the 19,
you
then
can't
he's only
do it exactly. But I said, Lee, you could tell me what you think. But I'm inclined to think if you put Lazio and Paladino together, the Marist and Quinnipiac numbers for Cuomo were not all that different. We had him up. We had him at 49. I think. Stop me if I'm wrong. You had him at 51.
Yes.
So see, it's dramatic. It looked dramatic,
right.
But maybe it's not as dramatic as it looked.
And I want to talk more about likely voter polling because I think our listeners will find that really interesting. But Lee, do you want to just back up or not what Mickey just said about subtract the Lazio numbers or assume that Lazio voters will become Paladino voters, then you have the same split, more or less, which would be maybe 6 to 10 points.
Probably, as Mickey said, it's probably a little wider than that because I don't think the Lazio voters, convert one for one.
Not automatically, Lee. Not automatically, of course not.
Where's Lazio's support? Lazio's support was in Long Island mostly. That's not a really strength at this point for Paladino. I mean, Cuomo's got some support down there, too. There's a lot of independent voters in the Lazio numbers. Not splitting hairs in all this. I mean, I think what are we looking at? We're looking at Cuomo with a lead. It's either a tenuous lead or a decent lead. In most instances, and I think, Siena, because they were doing registered, was a very different pool of voters. That taps into the huge registration advantages that the Democrats have. I suspect in the next Siena poll or shortly they will be into more of a likely voter model, and that will also bring them into a range where the Quinnipiac and Marist numbers are as well. Right now we're showing, I think even without Lazio, I think it's probably a little bit of a wider margin than Quinnipiac did. But, what's the story? Cuomo's just above 50, and, that means he's got a lead, but he hasn't got a lock on it.
Hey, Lee, what this poll says, what all these polls say, is it's a real election, which we hadn't thought before.
Well, wait a minute. Don, from the Siena poll, you had a 33-point lead the other day for Cuomo. Do you think it's a real election?
Well, certainly, as everybody pointed out, the people that we talked to were registered voters. And another component of trying to analyze the difference between these polls is to get inside what Mickey's describing as the Cuisinart. We took and we said, okay, at this point in time, just shortly after the primary, we wanted to see how all registered voters felt. And Lee is absolutely right. As we move into October, we'll winnow that down to likely voters. But so we took, and our sample was representative of the manner in which New Yorkers are registered by party across the whole state.
Is there a reason you do that rather than ask for likely voters at this point in the campaign?
Well, at that point, okay. We went into the field on September the 16th, just a couple days after the primary. We felt at that time that for many, many New Yorkers, the election season is just kicking off. So we wanted to get one last snapshot of how all registered voters felt, knowing that we had plenty of time to move into the election season as it heated up in October to go to likelies. It was simply a decision. Interestingly, if you took Quinnipiac's cross-tabulations by party identification and applied registered voter rates to those, all of a sudden their numbers look a whole lot closer to our registered numbers and Lee's registered numbers.
So, Mickey, I guess an issue here is when and how you sample likely voters to put into your Cuisinart or your blender or whatever it is. Because some people say it's too early now to sample likely voters because not enough of the electorate is engaged yet to determine who is actually likely to vote or to stay home. So why do this so early on?
Well, Brian, two highly reputable people, Doug Schwartz and Lee Mieringhoff, don't think it's too early. And I don't either. You have to understand, we're in the middle now of the campaign. And if you wait for the last couple of weeks and so forth to do it, it seems to me that you're presenting an inaccurate picture. In other words, likely voters are precisely that. They're likely to vote. And it's coming close enough so that it's worthwhile to examine them and not do a switchover a couple of weeks before. Look, I'm not knocking Siena. Siena did a brilliant piece today. They're doing state senate races that's an interesting yeah. poll.
Well, Don,
Lee Mieringhoff did a poll in there. He's working with the Daily News now. And Lee, I thought that thing about are they qualified to be governor? Mm-hmm. That was a good and found out by the way that most people don't think Paladino's qualified. Those are all good things.
Lee,
but I think,
Lee, did you find out that some of Paladino's own likely voters think he's not qualified?
Sure, there's always somebody out there who you can find. What I think is interesting, and this gets to the point Mickey from Quinnipiac is raising. A few years back, Gallup did, I think it was a presidential campaign. It was a presidential campaign. I'm not sure whether it was 2004. I think it was the Bush-Kerry campaign. In any case, they had been up until that point doing registered voters, which nationally has more of a Democratic kick to it. Then in about, I'd say a week or two before Election Day, they switched over to likely voters. The problem that created, and analytically, it's fine, what we're all doing, there's nothing bad that any of these three polls did. We disclose what we do, we tell the public what we're doing. The problem with what Gallup did that time is it created a sense of momentum, I believe it was for Bush, that was only really because of the change of their methods. It wasn't because the country had moved. Public opinion hadn't changed. The pollsters had changed what they were now focusing on. So I think that's the only I mean, we did likelies because, as Mickey said, that's what we think is a more accurate measurement of the probable electorate, even if it's not totally crystallized yet. But the danger you run into is if you move from registered voters to likely voters, and that footnote gets lost on the public, because the CNN poll, the next one they do, if they go to likelies, will show a 33-point, quote, lead for Cuomo, probably down to, let's say, 15 points.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, you know, half of Cuomo's lead has evaporated. It's just a different recipe that's being used. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that the public sort of has to watch very closely as to what is being measured in these polls.
If you're just joining us, listeners, we are talking to three area pollsters, Mickey Carroll from the Quinnipiac poll, Don Levy from the Siena poll, and Lee Meringoff from the Marist poll. They came out with very different top-line numbers last week on Cuomo's lead over Palladino, 6 points, 19 points, and 33 points. Pretty different. We're hearing some of the reasons why. We have a few minutes for phone calls for anybody who's ever wanted to talk to a pollster but never had one at your kitchen table. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or you can post to our politics website. It's freecountry.org. Don, on the question of who the likely voters are, I gather the likeliest voters this year are older males who, at least if they're older white males, tend to be the most conservative voters, most angry at government, most likely to support the Tea Party, most likely to vote. Are you seeing a bigger age and gender gap than in most years? And is that another reason a likely voter poll would be so much different from a registered voter poll in this particular year?
Well, certainly. I mean, I think that's the prevailing wisdom, that older, more apt to be self-described as white, more apt to be self-described as conservative, that those people are more impassioned to vote. But we're also seeing, as we start to look at numbers, and Mickey brought it up, that we're doing state Senate districts, I mean, local matters. I mean, take a look at the Republican primary, and we're all quite aware that Erie County had turnout amongst Republican primary voters that was off the charts. So there are...
What was the percentage? Do you know it?
I don't know off the top of my head. I believe it was as high as 40%, which, of course, is significantly higher than the overall Republican turnout, which was at about 17 or 18%.
So that's 40% of registered Republicans, which doesn't sound so high, but it's very high for a primary.
And relatively high. And the fact that Palladino in that primary got between 93 and 94% of the Republican vote in both Erie and Niagara was astounding.
Don, you know, I'll tell you, Brian, I hate to keep going back to ancient history, but the great old quote still prevails: all politics is local.
Right, and the
Tip O'Neill.
Right.
And we're seeing in some of the state Senate districts, for example, what we came out with the four districts yesterday, that in Frank Padovan's district, in Darrell Overton's district, where those races are very, very interesting for state Senate, but in both of those cases, we saw very large Cuomo leads over Palladino in a, you know, granted, a state Senate district, this time amongst likely voters. But we see tremendous variation within these state Senate districts based on what the state Senate candidate is, but also the local issues.
Lee, is it different this year? I somehow suspect, you know, since we haven't had this conversation year after year about, oh, my God, look at this poll versus this poll, they're so different, and the difference turns out to be likely versus registered voters, that there actually is a bigger difference this year between likely voters and registered voters, because that conservative older white male bloc, the so-called Tea Party bloc, is the most energized, the most likely to vote. So likely voters are not tracking registered voters as closely as they would in most years. Do you think that's true?
It is typical for New York that the likely voter model will have a narrower gap than the registration 2-to-1 advantages that the Democrats enjoy. So that is a usual phenomenon. I think this year, because, for example, Republicans tell us 51% say they're very enthusiastic about voting in New York in the statewide elections, only 34% of Democrats tell us that. I think we're seeing in New York a similar phenomena that we're seeing around the country, that the Democrat gap, enthusiasm gap with Republicans is very wide.
Right. And I gather another issue here in your divergent numbers was that Siena and Marist asked voters which party they're registered with, and Quinnipiac asked which they identify with, and got many fewer Democrats that way. So, Mickey, 48% are registered Democrats, just 36% told you they identify with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Does knowing that help you figure out who will win an election?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't think, you know, our polls at the moment say Cuomo wins the election, but this is at the moment. And there'll be others. We're doing more. I'm sure you guys are too.
Yep.
And there'll be several.
Here's what we're going to do, Brian. After we get off through the interview, the three of us, Sienna, Quinnipiac, and Marist, are going to stay on the line.
Yes.
We're going to make sure this doesn't happen in the next poll. We're going to have
Lee, it's a good thing to happen. And it's reasonable. No, seriously.
You guys want to be competing with each other, not cooperating with each other,
we're
right?
We're friends.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, you want to be doing your polls independently.
Yeah, sure.
Not as one consortium. But I'm interested, Lee, seriously, in that 12-point gap between people registered as Democrats and identifying as Democrats.
Yep.
Again, 48% are registered Democrats in New York. Just 36% said they identify at the moment with being Democrats.
Well,
compares to basically no gap between those registered as Republicans and identifying as Republicans, which is around 23%.
Okay, the answer to your question is in our survey, when we went from registered Democrats to likely, that, you know, as Mickey Carroll said, that boiling down to get to your likely voters, our gap was between 12% and 14% among registered likely voters, the advantage being the Democrats. So it shrunk down very, our sample and Mickey Carroll's sample by party, even though it was registered versus those Democrats, was almost identical. The difference in the numbers, which I originally thought might be the case when I first saw the Quinnipiac numbers, but it was not. The party cut on the data was almost identical. The difference had a lot to do with Rick Lazio being in or not being in.
Exactly.
And not the registered versus likely. Mm-hmm. The difference in the Sienna numbers and the Marist and Quinnipiac numbers was...
Are they likely or they're registered?
Sure. Our registered
We had 48%.
Don from Sienna, go ahead.
Yep.
We had 48% Democrats, so because we were doing a registered voter poll, we had a representative group by party registration. I'm interested, Lee, were you might have had a 12-point margin between Democrats and Republicans, but were your independents as high as...
No.
Mickey's self-identified independence.
The independence it surprised me. Well, among the things that surprised me when I first saw the numbers, it was 49-43 Cuomo over Palladino. But then I look at the independents in the Quinnipiac poll were 49-43 for Palladino. And I said, wait, this cannot be true. Because, you know, I had the same perception that everybody else did, that the Tea Party is the right wing of the Republican Party. Now we're doing independence voters overall, and yet they came out for Palladino. I'm inclined to think, and the poll won't say this, or at least won't say it yet, I'm inclined to think that there's... The angry voter stuff that we've all read about and written about and talked about, I'm beginning to think that there's more of it than I had originally thought, because that number, independent voters in the Quinnipiac poll going for Palladino, that surprised me. I don't know. What did yours show, Lee? I don't remember.
And we had it going the other way, there were fewer, as Don indicated. We had, believe, around 20% of our likelies were independents.
We had 31. Yeah.
And so, look, everybody stands by their own numbers. And
sure.
All right. Let me get a
–
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say in conclusion that, you know, one of the things these polls do, the campaigns have their own polls. And the public polls, Sienna, Quinnipiac, and Marist, all let the public in on the secret of what the what the candidates all knows going on.
Right.
And so, in a sense, if the public is saying, why do we need all of this, the answer is we're the ones who are letting the public in on where
things are. Because the candidates have their private polling.
Absolutely.
Let me get a few questions in for you from callers, for Don Levy from the Sienna poll, Lee Meringoff from the Marist poll, Mickey Carroll from the Quinnipiac poll, John in Manhattan here on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a question about the way the polls are conducted and whether they really show a fair sample of what is happening. Okay, I think younger people are not having phones anymore that are landline phones. They're all on cell phones. Okay, I have three adult children, okay, not one of them has a landline phone, even though they live in apartments, okay?
John, I'm going to leave it there. We don't have time for all of you on this. Don Levy from Siena, how are you dealing with the phenomenon of wireless-only phone owners who I guess you still can't poll?
Oh, no, you can poll them.
Don Levy, go ahead.
We all poll them, but we all recognize that each and every one of us faces a problem with including enough young people. I think each and every one of us struggled to get a sufficient number of young people. And as each one of us would say, what Mickey's referring to when he talks about the Cuisinart is that we apply weighting factors to various different demographics, and we include weighting factors for multiple demographics at the same time. So in effect, we certainly do talk to people on cell phones. We certainly do talk to young people. But invariably, I think each and every one of us ends up weighting up the opinions of those young people that we do talk to. The methodological question is, are the people that we do talk to fairly representative of the whole group? We believe they are.
Armand in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just noticed a poll out today, which you may have actually mentioned earlier, by Marist, saying that once voters got to know Paladino, for instance, they found him unfit to be governor. I guess my question would be, how often in your experience do you think the information you're giving people in your poll, they actually learn on the street or learn from the news such that those numbers you determine, people think after they get information, actually kind of come true in the real world when they go in a voting booth? And it doesn't matter if it's a governor's race versus a state senate race versus a more local race.
As important as the three of us think we are, I've always maintained that the public isn't sitting around waiting for the results of the next poll to figure out how to. I think the polls reflect where the public is. These statements that we tested in this latest Daily News Marist poll are things that have aired repeatedly on the news, as statements that Carl Paladino made. I don't think we're leading the witness. And people always ask us, you know, when someone's ahead in a poll, does that mean it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy? Well, you know, in a lot of elections, we ask people, regardless of who you support, who you think's going to win. And we find that people like the person they like, even if they don't think they're going to win. So I don't think the polls are quite as influencing as people think.
That would probably be a good topic for a future conversation.
Yeah.
That's
a good question.
That squishy line maybe between measuring and influencing. But we have to leave it there for today. Maybe we can do this one more time before the actual election. Mickey Carroll, director of the Quinnipiac University Polling Institute.
Thank you for having me on, Brian.
Don Levy, director of the Siena Research Institute.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
And Lee Meringoff, director of the Marist Institute for Public Opinion. Thank you all so much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us. Coming up in a minute, we will debate the proposal before City Council that would require paid sick days for all workers in New York City.